G'day legends, I'm Kat John. Welcome to the Real Raw Relatable Podcast. I'm an authenticity coach and keynote speaker who is here to help you powerfully manage the thoughts in your head so you can listen to your heart and focus on what matters. I'll be sharing how to do this through real guidance, raw truths, and relatable stories. Hey treasures, welcome back to the podcast. I actually confused myself for a second because with my meditation platform, Take Your Meds, I start off with G'day Treasures and I'm like, hang on, am I about to do a podcast or about to record a meditation? I'm about to record a podcast. I hope you're great and I hope you're well. I had a great week last week. I was away the weekend before in Sydney with a really beautiful group of women where we come together three times a year. We gather, we're all in business and yeah, we come together to talk business, share personal, the whole lot, the whole kit and caboodle. And, I walked away from that weekend incredibly full and just full of powerful woman energy. Yeah, that was a really great weekend. And then Steve and I went to Albury Wodonga. So I was speaking as keynote for International Women's Day, which was such a beautiful event. So I had a great week last week. I handed in the last part of my manuscript, the last little edits. So, you know, it was interesting because on Saturday I was really tired and I had to send back these tiny little edits. And then I had the rest of the day free and I'm reading this book. It's so new that I've just got it. I think it's called The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart, recommended by my dear friend Kemi. And I just sunk myself into that book and I cocooned and Steve's like, I haven't heard you talk all day. I'm like, mate, I am in my cocoon. I've done lots of work this week and given of myself, and this is my gift. This is my treat to myself. And I did. I just read and read and read. And you know what? I have read 2.5 books so far this year, and for me, that's a lot. Usually, it would take me the whole year to read not even a whole book because I'd pick it up and put it down. Pick it up and put it down. But since writing, and again, this is a suggestion from Kemi, my gorgeous friend, who also has incredible books out in the world. Her latest one is called Power. She also has a beautiful book called The Gift of Asking. She's an incredible human. I'm sure you know of her already, but if you don't, Kemi Nekvapil is her name, an incredible coach and, yeah, beautiful writer, beautiful, beautiful writer. But anyway, since writing my book, she's been helping me and we've been having writing sessions together. And she's been, you know, just letting me in how she kind of goes about her world and with writing and said that she reads different types of books to see how people write. And I've read two of Cheryl Strayed's books this year, Tiny Beautiful Things, which I cannot recommend enough, and Wild, From Lost to Found. Also can't recommend enough. And I'm currently now reading The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart, which are books that I probably typically wouldn't pick up to read. But these writings, I think, you know, my intention with reading this year is to read books that just do funny things to my heart, you know, where I can't help but put the book down because I need to breathe for a minute. You know, the very intention as to how I'm writing my book. And yeah, I want my heart to feel different things when I'm reading and that's what I'm getting so far. So that's what I was doing on Saturday. But I was also very wary of my ego that was like, come on, mate, there's always stuff to do. There's stuff that I could be sending back to my management team. There's stuff that I could be, you know, videoing or creating or planning for. And I really had to just sit my ass down and lose myself in this new book that I'm reading. So that was my discipline. But I've had an amazing week. But actually what I want to talk about today is a post that I posted up, or it's a reel that I posted up on Instagram, and I'm going to read it out if you hadn't seen it. So it was a video of me cleaning the house, and I must say it was a that video was actually for real. I finished, I handed in my manuscript. It was at the end of January. I was also writing vows for our wedding. We're about to get married in 10 days and I was like peaking. I was peaking with mental load. It was school holidays. It was just like, oh my gosh, you know, my insides were screaming. All awesome things happening, but a lot happening at once. And I handed in that manuscript and I messaged a few friends and they're like, how are you going to celebrate? I said, I'm going to fucking clean. I'm going to clean. And I said to Steve, I'm going to clean the house and I'm doing one of those cleans. But here's what I wrote. There's cleaning and then there's cleaning in capital letters. Everyone knows that I love a clean, tidy, aesthetically pleasing home. And the ones closest to me know when I'm cleaning because the house needs it or when I clean because I need it. Cleaning for me became a coping strategy when I was younger. There was a hidden memory jammed up inside me that was causing disturbance. I didn't have conscious access yet to the memory, but my body did. Waves of emotion would surge, and the only way I knew to get rid of it in order to cope was to clean. I rearranged my room, wardrobe, books, underwear, stripped my sheets and all the rest to bring some kind of order back into the world. Ah, now it's right, was the thought and feeling. But of course, it didn't last long. Now knowing this locked up memory, I used cleaning and still do at times to this day as a way to gain control of reality, to make it right in my mind because my insides are having some sort of conniption. I try not to judge myself or tell myself I'm a failure at not fully healing this coping mechanism. The way I approach it now is by asking myself, am I cleaning the house because the house needs to be cleaned? Or am I cleaning the house because something in me feels out of control? This means I'm aware of what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, and whilst I clean to gain control, I inquire, get curious, and talk to the part of me inside that needs acknowledgement, love, and care. Always a work in progress. That's the post that I shared, and it has resonated with more people than I knew it would resonate with. And I want to talk about that today because we all have coping mechanisms and coping strategies. So for some, it is cleaning. For some, it is hyper-exercising. For some, it is overworking. For some, it is food. It is alcohol. It is cigarettes. It is going back to a toxic ex, you know, or going back to an ex, but it's this toxic dynamic. We all have a coping strategy. It can be to numb out. It can be to zone out. It can be to plonk yourself in front of the TV and block out the entire world. And I'm not here to bag any coping strategy because I still have my coping strategies. My coping strategies are also to lock myself up in some invisible cave and pretend that, you know, I'm the only one in it, but there's a house full of people. And that's one of my coping strategies. It's like, everyone get the fuck out of me, out of my space, out of my heart. And like I said, I'm not here to make coping strategies a bad thing. I'm here to simply bring them to your attention. And to do that through sharing what my coping strategy is, because then it may start to have you think about, well, what's mine? You know, it can be to be super funny. It can be to be super positive, to be super spiritual, because you can't fucking deal with reality, you know, or something inside of you is not coping with reality, or there is a story in you about reality that is having, like I said in my post, some kind of conniption, Or there is something, like I said in my post too, jammed up inside of you. Now, for me, when I was a teenager, that jammed up memory that I didn't know super consciously back then was the abuse that took place when I was a younger girl. And I didn't know, it wasn't privy to me. It wasn't like, oh yeah, now I know why I'm doing this. It was quite simply, oh my gosh, there feels like there is a tornado and a hurricane happening inside of me and a tsunami all at once. And I don't know what the fuck to do. It was a tsunami and a hurricane and a tornado of feelings and emotions that I felt hot and I felt jammed up in my throat, where I just wanted to run out of my body. If I could literally just peel off my skin, pick me out of there and escape my body, awesome. That would be fantastic. But being a young girl, I didn't know how to deal with the tornado, the tsunami, and the hurricane, and also, you know, didn't really, you know, feel comfortable to talk it out loud with my family. So the way that I dealt with that at that time in my life was to clean. Like I said, it was mainly to really organize things in my room, from book order to color order of the books, to height order of the books, to author's first name, to author's surname. But then that would be out of color coordination. And then that would be out of height order. And then that, you know, extended to my clothes in my wardrobe. Same. I did summer order, winter, spring. Then I did colors. Then I did heights of the clothings, but then it was out of color order. Then it was out of season order. And, you know, it was a really, really troubling time internally, because like I said, I didn't know at the time. I was trying to gain some kind of level of control, because I didn't know how the fuck to control what was going on inside or deal with it or manage it or face it or hold it or love it or accept it. So that coping mechanism developed, and others progressed over time. But that coping strategy is still with me today. It is. I had other ones of taking drugs, of harming myself, of throwing up my food, and, you know, alcohol, cigarettes, etc. They're all gone. You know, they're all gone. But certainly the cleaning one is the one that's still there. And like I said, there are legitimate times where I'm like, the floor is dirty, I'm going to put on the EcoVac, which I might say, and this is not a plug, I don't have any affiliation with them. That shit has changed my goddamn life. You know, that little EcoVac, I'm like, I'm going to be upstairs, or I'm going to be out at Pilates, or I'm going to be doing whatever I do. And I just go, clean the house, please. I mean, yes, I've got to put the chairs up and, you know, take the pot plants off the thing so it can actually get to the places. But that has given me freedom, a lot more freedom than before, because I would say, you know, that obsessive part of me, that control part, it would sweep the floor more than I really needed to, you know. But now that I've got this little friend in our home, I'm like, okay, you do it. You do it. I don't need to be doing it. But yeah, it is something that's still with me, and something that I'm very aware of, that I notice flares up in peak periods of my life, whether that be a difficult period or whether that be an amazing period, where my younger self that's still there inside of me cannot deal with the bigness. Like I said, whether that's the bigness of joy, whether that's the bigness of amazingness, the bigness of overwhelm, the bigness of so much happening all at once. And like I said, like I was saying, you know, I know when my house needs cleaning. Especially when the girls have been, you know, over school holidays and people have been in and out of the house, and I'm like, oh, I just want to do a beautiful reset. And you know, that it comes from that place. It comes from a you know, cleanse, reset, open up the windows, light the candles. That's good. And then there's times where I was like, yeah, nah, it actually needs to be clean, because Bailey and Daisy, they've come from the beach and there's sand everywhere, and let's do a clean. And then there's the third one, which is cleaning because I feel out of control. And, you know, when I do those cleans, it fucking feels amazing. I'm not going to lie. It feels so goddamn good. I feel like order is in place. I feel like everything is okay. I feel like, how wonderful. But I'm also very aware that it's temporary, that why I'm doing it. As I said, when I'm cleaning and I'm washing the walls and I'm like cleaning the skirting boards and I'm getting things out of the cupboard and all of that stuff. I mean, look, we live very minimalistically, but I go next level minimalist with Steve. I threw out one of Steve's his favorite shaver. I threw out his charger and he's like, "Where's my charger?" I'm like, "There was dust all over it. I threw it out." And he's like, "You got to ask me first." I'm like, "Mate, when I'm in those kinds of cleans, I'm mute. And I'm in my own world. And I threw out his charger to his favorite shaver, but it made him buy an even better shaver. So you're welcome, Steve. I'm watching myself. I'm observing myself and I'm also asking myself, which cat inside of me is present here right now? Which younger self is present here in me right now who is struggling or who is, finding it difficult to cope with life? And around that time when I was writing the book or getting in those last edits at the end of Jan, organizing our wedding, writing vows, wedding's 10 days away, you know, stuff coming up about the wedding too, big emotions of like love, of fear, of, you know, little girl fear, little cat, the little cat in me that was fearful around like, oh no, I don't want to, we have to be in the world by ourselves, you know, we have to do life on our own. Like we've got us, don't do this. You know, that was happening. That was legit happening. Whilst I have these two beautiful bonus daughters and Steve, like, yay, we're getting married. We're all getting married. Well, I have all these beautiful friends that are like, what can we do on the day? We can't wait for your wedding. We can't wait to celebrate your love. Whilst I have the best editors, you know, in the world helping me and, you know, co-creating this book with me. All these younger parts of me just freaking the fuck out. Like, oh my gosh, you're writing a book. What if you write this book and then no one likes it and then no one reads it and then the mothership ego is just having a field day? That's what was going on. And they were the younger cats inside that needed just my acknowledgement to be like, hey, you know, and I can see we're cleaning, I can see it. Talk to me, you know. What's going on? What's coming up for you? How old are you? Who's the cat in here right now? How old are you and what's happening? And I would be, like I said, cleaning the walls, having these internal chats. So all the while looking to expel so much energy inside of me, also grounding myself. I do find cleaning grounding. There's these chats taking place, healing chats, just communication with all the selves that I've lived, that have lived before me today, that never thought I'd get married, that never thought I could write a book, maybe hope to get married, maybe hope to have impact in the world, but is also very scared because of the things that took place when I was younger and the fear of the world, the fear of people, the fear of rejection, the fear of what could happen, the fear of hurt and just never wanting that to happen again. So then the big emotions come up, the memories that took place, the situations that took place and the memories that have latched onto that just start, you know, fueling up to the me now where I'm like, oh, I feel like I need a clean. And then it's like, actually, which part of me needs to clean? which self needs to clean. And I'm going to go and love her and talk to her and acknowledge her. So I just wanted to bring that to the podcast stage because it really did resonate with a lot of people. It made a lot of people feel less alone. It gave people a lot to think about as well. And maybe your coping strategy isn't cleaning. Like I said, maybe it's being super duper uber positive. Maybe it's going into victim mode. Maybe it's getting so low and down that that's the only way you know how to come back up and rise. Maybe it's numbing out. Whatever it is, let this sharing of mine be an invitation for you to look at your coping strategy. And how are you going with that? Which part of you, which younger self of you, created this coping strategy and why? You know, this is the deep work. This is the deep work. This is the work that is done in the Zero Fucks program. This is the work that's done in one-to-one coaching because it's necessary. In the book that I'm currently reading, Holly, the author, writes, "Life is lived forward but only understood backward." And it's true. It's true. So many people either want to totally move forward and disregard the past. I don't want to look at that again. I don't want to deal with that again. I don't want to face that again. I don't want to talk about that anymore. Or some people are so jammed and stuck in the past that moving forward just seems impossible. But we have to learn to dance with both. We have to learn to dance that, okay, cool, as I move forward, as I grow, as I evolve, as I expand, why is this coping strategy here? Why is this flaring up? It's an invitation, you know, like this is why with the work that I do with my clients, it's never like, oh, you're failing, you're fucked up, this coping strategy is still here. It's like, what's happening? Let's get curious. Let's start to look at that. What's happening in your current reality where you're moving forward that is activating something in the past, and let's dance with that. Let's go in. Let's do the waltz, do a slow dance, do the cha-cha, whatever dance it's going to be, so we can love, have compassion, acknowledge, accept all parts of us, you know? So anyway, I hope today's sharing has been of service to you. So you can begin to look at your own coping strategies and begin to get curious. Thanks, treasures, for listening to today's episode of the Real, Raw, Relatable podcast. Today's episode was recorded on the traditional lands of the Bunwurrung people, and I pay my respects to their elders past, present, and emerging. If today's podcast resonated, please let us know. Email us at info@catjohn.com.au. Go ahead and rate, review the podcast, or share it on with someone who you know could do with hearing today's message. If you feel called to work with me, down in the show notes, you can book a free 20-minute chat. This isn't a coaching call. It's for you and I to discern where you're at, where you want to be, and if I'm the right person to serve you. Whether that's working one-to-one or inside of the Zero Fucks program, let's chat and let's find out. Until I see you in your squeaky, clean ear balls next week. Take care. Peace be with you.